Some churches claim to have prophets who speak authoritatively from God, but is that really a thing anymore? And if not, how do we hear from God? This is the question we're going to be answering in today's episode. We're in week number 4 in our unboxing series, and we're going to answer the question, does God still speak through prophets? And I want to start with a passage that seems to answer the question, at least on the surface. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers." So we stop right there, Ephesians 4, 11. It seems really clear. Prophets are still a thing. So some people might say, okay, the churches that claim to have prophets and apostles are the most biblical churches. So for example, the Mormon church, you know, they have a prophet. They claim to have a prophet on the earth who speaks authoritatively for God to the people. In fact, if you know some Mormons, maybe they've got a lot of pride in this. Maybe they even look at your church, if you go to an evangelical church, and they say, see, you must be wrong and we must be right because we have prophets and we see prophets in the Bible, and so our church is the true church. In fact, a lot of cults make claims like this. There are some churches that I would say are on the fringe a little bit who say this guy here is an apostle, capital A, apostle, or this guy here is a prophet, capital P, prophet. And if you don't know your Bible, you're going to fall for it. And so we're going to study this today. We're going to look into this because you're going to see, if you take a deeper dive on this, you're going to see that those churches are actually not biblical, and I'll show you why. First, we need to understand prophets in the Old Testament. So prophets back then in the Old Testament were not just fortune tellers, you know, people who could predict the future. A lot of people, that's what they think about when they think about a prophet. A prophet is someone who can tell the future. But actually, if you study the prophets in the Old Testament, you're going to see that they were messengers chosen by God, and their job, even though sometimes they would tell the future or predict the future, but far more often than telling the future, their job was to guide, to comfort, and really even ultimately to call the people back to God. So here's an example, the prophet Moses, when God calls him in Exodus chapter 3, here's what he says to Moses. "Look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me, and I've seen how harshly Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt." So God calls Moses to be his mouthpiece, to be the guide for the people, to be a comforter for the people, to call the people to freedom. And this was Moses, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Or how about Ezekiel, another prophet in the Old Testament? Ezekiel chapter 2, here was how he got called to be a prophet. It says there in verse 3, "Son of man, I'm sending you to the nation of Israel, a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have been rebelling against me to this very day. They're a stubborn and hard-hearted people, but I'm sending you to say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or refuse to listen, for remember, they're rebels, at least they will know that they have a prophet among them." So think about that. God is calling Ezekiel not to go and make a bunch of predictions for his people, but he's calling Ezekiel, he's sending Ezekiel to the people because the people needed to be reminded, they needed to be called back to God. They needed to be told what God had told previous generations, but they forgot about it. They were stubborn and hard-hearted, and so God sent a mouthpiece. He sent a prophet to go and speak to the people for him. Let me give two more examples. Hosea was another prophet. Hosea chapter 1, it says, "When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, here's what God said to him. He said, 'Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution.' This will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods." Now, this is a really weird calling. Hosea is, man, his calling was bizarre. So God said, I'm going to turn you into like a word picture for the people. He literally had Hosea marry a prostitute and have kids with the prostitute as a metaphor for how he felt, how God felt. God wanted this relationship with his people, but his people, Israel, kept prostituting themselves to other gods and other idols. And so Hosea, again, Hosea doesn't come to tell the future. Hosea comes to call the people back to God, to warn the people that they had wandered away. And one more, this is probably one of the most famous prophets in the Bible, the prophet Jonah. And Jonah chapter 1 tells us how he got called. It says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. So once again, just like with Ezekiel, just like with Hosea, Jonah is called to go to, this time, the people of Nineveh, and to announce the judgment of God against the people. So again, prophets in the Old Testament weren't fortune tellers. They weren't, for the most part, telling the future, predicting the future, although sometimes they did. For the most part, they were messengers chosen by God to guide, to comfort, and really ultimately to call the people back to God. So sometimes God was using them for new revelation, like he did for Moses. Through Moses, he revealed the Ten Commandments. But a lot of times with the later prophets, God was just kind of calling them back to the basic stuff that he'd already said to them. That was the role of prophet in the Old Testament. Now, what about the New Testament? How was prophecy in the New Testament different from prophecy in the Old Testament? Well, first of all, there are a couple of examples of prophets in the New Testament, like John the Baptist was a prophet, similar to the prophets in the Old Testament. He's kind of preparing the way, he's calling people back to God, but John the Baptist's job was to sort of set people up for Jesus. And there are a couple of examples in the book of Acts where there are some prophets who were speaking out, like a guy named Agabus. It says in Acts chapter 21 that he had a gift of prophecy, and he came and he took Paul's belt and he bound his own feet and hands with it. And then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. And it says that when we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. So here we have this kind of this one-off example of this guy named Agabus who is foretelling the future. So we still had some of that going on in the New Testament, but by and large, in the New Testament, there was not prophecy like there was in the Old Testament. And the reason for this is really important, is that in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to every believer. See, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon Moses for a specific purpose. The Holy Spirit would, God would speak through his Holy Spirit to some, to these prophets like Ezekiel and Jonah and the others. But in the New Testament, every single believer gets the Holy Spirit. And so as a result, prophecy takes on a whole new meaning and purpose in the New Testament. And I think to understand this, we have to understand the two types of prophet in general. And this is really how we start to answer this question, does God still speak through prophets? The first type of prophet, I'm going to call it the capital P prophet. This is the person who speaks authoritatively for God. And it's what we see here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. It says in verse 19, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family. We actually looked at this verse a couple of weeks ago when we talked about, is there one true church? But look at what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 20, the next verse. He says, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. So this is what we call capital P prophets, those who spoke authoritatively and laid the foundation, Now, remember, the foundation was laid by guys like Moses in the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments. God is speaking authoritatively. He's revealing stuff through guys like Moses. But then in the New Testament, guys like Paul and Peter and John come along, and God is revealing even more new information to these New Testament prophets. And this is what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. He says there, God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. There it is again. He's talking about the apostles and prophets, just like he did in Ephesians chapter 2. This is what we call capital P prophets. This is where God revealed his plan of salvation. Go read Ephesians 3 for yourself. And he's talking about this plan of salvation, that it was going to be Jew and Gentile. This good news of the gospel, that it wasn't just for the Jewish people, but it was for the Gentiles as well. Now remember, in the Old Testament, the Jews in the Old Testament didn't fully understand God's plan, the fullness of his plan. But in the New Testament, the fullness of his plan is revealed. The gospel is revealed. And this is the capital P prophet and the capital A apostle. This is prophetic revelation. It's new revelation. This is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 2. It's what he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 3. The holy apostles and the prophets, this is new revelation. But here's the thing, I want you to hear this. This work is done. Capital P prophet work is done. Capital A apostle work is done. God does not need to reveal anything new through prophets and apostles today. I want to say that again, because that's our first answer to the question, does God still speak through prophets? In the capital P sense, the answer is no. God does not speak through these types of prophets anymore. But that's just the first part of the answer. Because remember, there are two types of prophets. The capital P prophet, someone who speaks authoritatively for God, who gives new revelation for God. That kind of prophecy is done. It's over. We don't need capital P prophets in the church anymore. If you're part of a church that says, we have a prophet who speaks authoritatively from God, I would say to you, you're not in a biblical church. Find another church. God does not speak authoritatively anymore. But that's different than the kind of prophecy in the local church that I would call lowercase p prophecy, the gift of prophecy. And this is what we see in Ephesians 4. The verse that we started with at the beginning today, at the beginning of this episode, that is lowercase p prophecy. Let me read it again in context. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, it says there, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. And then he lists out five gifts, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. He says in verse 12, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Now, this is what I call lowercase p prophets. These are people who speak out to every new generation, who speak out to the congregation what God has already spoken. That is lowercase p prophecy, lowercase a apostolic ministry, and that is something that God does still do. He still speaks out his truth to through people who have the gift of speaking out and calling people back to God, declaring what God has already declared. So for example, in my church, I'm a teaching pastor in my church, and this is what I would call, I have the gift of prophecy in my church, lowercase p. I don't make anyone call me a prophet, you know, capital P prophet. I can't just stand up in church and say, God has given me a new revelation. I know that he said this in the Bible, but now he's saying this because I speak authoritatively for him. No, that is not true. What I do when I stand up and preach is I am exercising what I believe to be the gift of prophecy in the sense of calling people back to God. I'm not revealing anything new. I'm speaking out what God has already spoken. I'm calling people back to God. I'm reminding them of what he's already said, but I'm not adding anything new. I can't add to the canon of scripture. The canon of scripture is closed. If I were to write a book and say that Prophet Brian wrote this book, that does not rise to the level of the authority of the Bible. God doesn't speak like that anymore. So in Ephesians chapter 4, my job is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the local body of Christ, the local church. And in that sense, prophecy is very much alive and well today. Apostolic ministry as well. Think about the apostles in the Old Testament. The apostle Paul would go out and start a new work. He was planting churches. So I believe the apostolic ministry today, lowercase a, the apostolic ministry is anyone who's got the gift of starting something new. I started the churches that I pastor, so that was part of my apostolic gift. God gave me the gift of being a starter. And so I started these churches. And that's a good thing. That gift is good. It builds up the body of Christ. But again, it's lowercase a. If I call myself capital A apostle, that's where it gets dangerous. Because now if I'm claiming to be equal to Paul and Peter and James and John and Moses and David, like, that is a problem. Because God doesn't speak to me like that. He doesn't give me or anyone new revelation. He's already given his revelation. Now, I would encourage you, if maybe you're someone who really struggles with the idea of people speaking out and people sort of exercising this gift, the way I've just described it, this gift of prophecy in the church where they're calling people to God, I would encourage you to read this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 and 21. Paul says this. He says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies." Again, I would say that that's talking about lowercase p prophecies. But he says this, "Test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good." I pray that you attend a church that has people who exercise the lowercase p gift of prophecy. I pray that people would stand up and speak to the church and call people back to God and preach the word of God faithfully. But remember what Paul said to the church in Thessalonica. He said, "Test everything that is said and hold on to what is good." How do we test what is said? We test it with what God has already said. God has already spoken authoritatively in his word, and we do not need someone to come and add to it. We test everything that is said in the church. We test everything that is said in a podcast, everything that is said on this podcast, everything that is said by your favorite YouTuber. We test everything that is said in your local church. We test it against the word of God, and then we hold on to what is good. And I want to finish today's episode with one more statement about why we no longer need capital P prophets in the church. And the reason is because the ultimate prophet is Jesus himself. This is what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Right at the beginning of his book, he says this, "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son." Friends, God has revealed his truth over time through his word. He revealed it in part through Moses. He revealed it a little bit more through David and prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. He revealed it a little bit more in prophets like John the Baptist. But he ultimately revealed himself, and this is the goal of prophecy, is to reveal God and his will to the people. His ultimate revelation was through Jesus himself. We do not need God to speak authoritatively any new revelation anymore to the church because he has revealed himself ultimately in Jesus. If you want to understand God and his heart for you and his message to you, all you need to do is look to Jesus. Jesus himself is the ultimate revelator of God and his nature and his purpose. Look to Jesus, and you don't need a prophet to tell you anything in your church today.